Okay, Ward Green here. It's December 9th still, 2201 hours. The year is 2022. I just wanted to show you, after this morning's study of Psalm 69 and Isaiah 49, I wanted to come down in the workshop again and show you the slabs that I've been working on cutting to mill. Dimensioning them and basically doing some milling to get them into lumber. But I preserved this slab here, which is about 1.5 inches thick, and I put it up in my crib here. But, you know, it's pretty heavy, so I don't want to put too much other heavy stuff up in the crib because it's at some point going to, you know, collapse if I put too much up in there. But I need to make space on the floor with all these slabs that are taking up my floor if I can. I need to find a way. So I want to show you these slabs. I've now got them opened up a little bit. See, so we can see. You can see now better. You can see what I'm dealing with here a little bit better. You can see these slabs here. How much can you see here of me? I can't even see myself on the display. Can't see myself. Yeah, I guess you can see me, but I can't see myself. But you can see the slabs here. So we've got, you know, we've got this one right here. And it's about, an inch and a quarter thick, something like that. Very beautiful piece of wood. Huge, like 9 feet long. All of these that I haven't cut are 9 feet long, the three. That one, here on the side, 9 feet long. This one here, on the floor, in the center here. Only some of which is visible. The rest of it's underneath this piece. But it's the same width as the other. Basically, it gets a little narrower at the other end, as you can see, because that's getting close to the outer part of the tree again. So this one is also an amazing piece of wide slab, you know, material of solid ash, white ash. And it's about, it ranges from up to about 2 inches, but, you know, down to 1 inch, probably between 1 and 2 inches thick all the way along. So it's amazing. What am I going to do with, these slabs of, these amazing slabs of white ash? I mean, they're just, I don't really want to cut them up. So I want to figure out, I could build a door out of, for example, I could build a door out of these, right? It's possible. Using as much of the slabs as I can, keeping them intact. That's how I could build my door, but that would be a very heavy door. I mean, obviously, but it would be a lot smaller than these. It'll be as heavy as one of these pieces, probably. 9 feet, that'd be two. Well, it's going to be more than that. It's going to be heavier than one of these slabs, so it's going to be heavy, but I mean, it won't be too heavy to carry. I'm just saying it'll be a very heavy door. And then I might be able to use these hinges that I have right here in the shop. One moment, please. I want to get them. I mean, every time we think about it, you know, every time, the thing is, this is important. Okay, this part of the work, where the designer or the person who's building the builder stops and examines what materials he has and takes a look at them, you know, and just thinks about things, ponders the possibilities. That's as important as any other part of the work. I mean, if not more important, because that's where you make the decisions that either waste your materials or that use them correctly or wisely. And so this is, and it's the most fun part too, is to dream about designing. With material like this, a lot of things can be done. a lot of things can be done because you don't see wood this size very often. This is a tree that grew for 30 years in my backyard, fed by the sewage bed, growing near the septic tank and fed by the tile bed of the septic tiles. So it was fed a lot of nutrient during the time it grew for 30 years, and it became a nice sized tree for that time period. Normally a 30-year tree would not be that big. So this is what the hinge looks like. This is one of these brass hinges. I guess it's just covered in dust right now, but I get the dust off it. But it's just, it's a very nice, beautiful, solid brass hinge. Very heavy duty, too. I mean, I've got three of them, so they could do the job. I could use long screws if I need to, whatever. So that's an idea for what I could do with hinges. If I were to, use this kind of hinge, trying to get, I don't like the mess that makes. It makes a bit of a mess. Okay. Anyway, it's okay. Look at these slabs. They're just incredible. I guess we should come a little bit closer. A little bit closer to them, maybe. See if I can get some power. I want to keep the power attached, connected to the phone. If I can disconnect it or get it out without shutting off the video. I can keep a continuous video. That would be good. But it's just amazing what these slabs look like. And look at this wood. Once that's sanded smooth, that will be looking pretty amazing. But it's just white ash. It's not going to have much color in it. It's just going to be a white, plain-looking wood, but it's going to be similar to the finish we had on this. You know, it'll look like this. It's heavy. This is the piece which, by the way, when I said it was the first wood that I had mentioned, it is the first wood from the tree itself. All of this wood was the first wood from the tree itself. The first wood that I was talking about that I did earlier, some years ago or months ago, that was from the stump. That was wood that was only 3 feet long that was from the stump. I left a 3-foot stump or something like that, 2-foot, whatever it was. So it was wood that came from the stump, which is much drier, didn't have this kind of weight to it. If it was drying in the sun on the stump before I cut it off the stump, after some period of years, after the tree was lying on the ground for a couple of years, I cut down the stump. And so that wood that was harvested from the stump was inferior to this wood. But for some reason, it was much lighter. You know, it was dried out, I guess. Or, you know, sun damage, perhaps. But this, you know, this is the kind of wood I'm getting. Really good wood from the main part of the tree. And this is the very first good piece, you know, that I've gotten from it, which I showed you the other day. So can we come over here a little further? Cables. They always provide issues, you know, potential problems. So coming down here, I want to show you this other piece. This other slab that's standing up here, that one I cut shorter, like the one up in the crib that I have, that I showed you. This one is also, I cut it to about 82 inches, the one in the crib is, I think, something like that. And you can just see, yeah, the end of it right there. But also right here, this is thicker than the one in the crib, so it's a lot heavier. It's about 2 inches thick all the way, more than 2 inches in places. It's a good 2 inches, so it's a nice heavy slab. And it's pretty symmetrical. It's wide at each end. pieces wide, wide at each end. And then it's got, you know, slightly narrow in the middle. So this could be a good console, tabletop for a console in the studio. That's why I put this aside. And I wanted to, because it's cut shorter, the end that I cut off of it had a big crack in it. So cutting it shorter, I didn't mind doing it with this piece. Plus, it's so thick. Now, I could also use it. This would be a good piece also to cut. To cut lumber from in the form of, like, you know, 2-inch 2x, 2x3s or 2x4s. I could get a few of them, but there's a nice crack here. There's a crack there that's going to interfere with getting the full length out of them. But it's almost 7 feet long, this piece. But see that because of this crack here, that prevents or reduces the number of good, clear pieces you can get from it. So it makes me want to keep it in one piece because a crack can be a good decorative thing, especially a darker colored crack like that, and an occlusion, or an inclusion, I should say. An inclusion of bark is what that is. It looks like the color of the bark of the tree, so it's got some color in it, which is good. In a big slab, that's a real feature rather than a detrimental thing. And then we still have the one on the ground here, on the... Let me put this back. Make this video short, if I can. So that we can get it online more easily. Look at this. Yes, it's so good. I mean, these are huge pieces of huge slabs. I mean, they're just, you know, 9 feet long. I don't know, they're 14 inches wide, I think. Or something. Or more than that, in some cases, but 14 inches wide at their widest points. Can you see me here? Where's my head? Yeah, that's my head, I guess. I look like I'm miles away. And there's something here interfering with the... Actually, that's just the timestamp. That's what it is. Okay. I can't see my head very easily because of the timestamp. Okay, so... I'm in awe of this wood because I've done woodworking in the past, so I appreciate what the wood is like. And I've never had materials like this ever. I've never had materials of this quality, even with these cracks. I mean, there are big cracks, you know, but they don't generally go through the whole slab. If I lift this up, look on the back. There's no crack. Oh, yeah, there is. Yeah. Less of a crack on the back. I'm going to crush my foot here if I'm not careful. I have to be careful here. There's less of a crack on the back. So, you know, it can be filled. Cracks can be filled with epoxy or something, right? So if we pick this up, try and get it up here. I'm trying to get this up over top. And I tweaked my back yesterday. Here I am lifting heavy wood, but it's not an issue for most times of my back. I can lay it down, but it's... Where are my gloves? Go there. If I have my gloves on, I can... My rubber gloves, these are the ones that can lift things. They can give good friction. Dry fingers will slip, you know. It's when you hurt yourself. More so, your fingers are slipping. It's when you drop things, potentially. You can drop things when your fingers are not able to grab on. So, it's better to have... I need to lift this. See if we can get it out of our way. Move it back. That's better. Yeah. There we are. I think. Maybe? Is it going to stick? No, it's going to knock the whole pile over. It's going to knock our whole pile over. But, yeah, this bottom one here, it's got cracks too.
a crack like that, though, just a couple of cracks in the middle of it, like the other one has, a couple of cracks on it, too, they could be filled with epoxy. And I think it's preferable to keep these slabs in one piece rather than cutting them up, because it's so expensive. If you were to buy these, it would cost you hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars. You know, for one of these might be several hundred or more dollars, I think. But I think, I mean, the more decorative the wood is, of course, the more expensive it would be. And this is just white ash, so. I mean, I'm thinking maybe one of these slabs might be $600. I don't know why I think that. I just do. If I were to try and buy it, it might be something like $600. Or, I mean, I wouldn't sell it maybe even for $600. I wouldn't be able to guarantee that I'd ever be able to buy one like that. So, I mean, you can't. You just don't know when you're ever going to find a piece of wood like that. It's enormous. So, as a designer, you could think of it in terms of, yeah, it's awe-inspiring wood, but that's you know, not a very practical way to look at it. It's just beautiful because of its size and its dimension and its completeness. You know, it's one piece. It's beautiful. That part of it is just beautiful, but there's a practical side that has to be addressed, and that is, what are we going to build from it? How can we use the fact that it's large? So we need to be practical and come up with ideas for building, you know, maybe a console or some kind of furniture that uses long slabs. I mean, a door, obviously, right? Is it another case? It's not furniture. It's a beautiful way to use slabs. I could use two of these slabs to build a door. Maybe it would be wide enough if each one were 18 inches. Of course, it could be, but if they're not, you know. Let's see. I mean, I just wanted to show you these anyway. I'll be thinking about this now. I need to think about it. That's what I'm saying. I need to think about it, right? And I had to cut these, and I had to haul them. I hauled these into the basement. I hauled these down here by myself. And each one of them weighs, I mean, significant amount. I'm not sure what they weigh, but I can work it out, knowing their size and knowing the density is about 44 pounds per cubic foot for ash. But this is about 16 inches there. You know, this is about 15. This is 16. And that's 18. Yeah, almost 18. 17. 17 at the widest point for that one. Right. This one was 14. The one that was, okay, I'm not showing you that one. Hang on.
The one that was standing up against the wall, it was 14. That one, it's right, yeah. Right there. That's standing, leaning against the wall there. That's right there. That one is 14 inches wide, top and bottom.
This one at the end is 18 inches.
And right across here, it's 18 inches. You know, and so as a designer, it's good to measure all of your things, all of your pieces, and know what they are, so that when you go to get ideas, you have rough numbers in your head that you can throw around, and in your mind, you can toss them around and see what that you come up with. That's 18 inches here. That's wider than I realized. That's 18 inches. That's amazing. That's probably my best piece. Because it's fairly uniform in thickness. You can see from the end of this. But it's not exactly flat. It's one and three quarters. And 1 3/4. And in the middle, it's about 1 1/2 or so. 1 3/8. In the middle, it's not quite as thick. And it's not perfectly flat.
It's going to lose some thickness by smoothing it out. But it's such a great piece of wood. It's such a great piece of wood. I mean, wood does not have to be flat.
that's the thing. You know, that's the thing to realize. Also, when you're building things, it doesn't have to be flat. You don't have to use flat and straight lumber. And as I was explaining with designing structures too, you want to design a structure that flexes equally everywhere, so that all the stress that you put on it is equally distributed in all the members. Every one of them bends. That's what you want. You don't want to have some members bend and the other ones be too stiff, because if that happens, then the ones that bend will break long before the other ones ever bend. You'd rather have all the weight or all the force equally shared by all the members, so that it breaks all at the same time, or it shares the stress and doesn't break, which is even better, right? If it doesn't break. But in some kind of hurricane or something, some structure might break, but you'd rather have it all break at the same time rather than one part break. And it's always going to have some part break first. So you can also design it so that certain parts will break first, so that if you do it that way, perhaps it will break in a more predictable way that might be desirable if you do that. So you can determine these things as a designer, how you want things to break, by determining how the different members absorb the bending and absorb the forces by bending in the structure, by making them the appropriate dimension for their position in the structure and for their function in that structure. That's the thing. So, but when we're looking at these beautiful slabs, so beautiful. They look beautiful on cam too, but I don't know how good they're going to be on the visual. But I mean, the idea is to figure out. Yeah, I was going to say we don't need to build a piece of furniture with a flat slab. The slab could have curvature in it, but it doesn't have to be flat. We tend to like things to be flat, because then we don't have to cut each piece as a custom piece. You know, if our top is not flat, we'll have to have each leg be a different length, and so we, so. Whereas if we know all the legs are the same length, that makes it a little easier. But it doesn't really matter as if we're building a custom piece. I mean, there's no reason why it has to be a straight piece of wood, necessarily. If we want to keep the thickness maximized, we could give it a bit of curvature, or a bit of a bow maybe in the middle, or a bow in the middle would allow it to absorb the weight on top without, so it would be flat when it was fully loaded, or when it was sitting there just hanging in space. If it has a slight bow to it in the middle, then that bow will maybe just flatten down with its own, under its own weight, and become a level table, or under the weight of whatever you're putting on it. You could design it to do that too. So, and you don't have to have uniform thickness either. That's not necessary. It's just, it depends on what you're trying to do with the structure. Really depends on the details of what you're trying to do. So, the thing is to get an idea that makes sense. And it's sometimes easier to get an idea when you have, uniform dimensions, uniform width and length. That might be easier for many of us to get an idea from, but when you want to preserve the natural edges, you can't do that, of course. You're going to have uneven sides or uneven edges if you're going to keep them natural. It's so exciting to see this wood. It's been drying here for a couple of years, I think, probably something like that. And I think I might have cut it in 2018, if I'm remembering correctly, but I don't know if it was down on the ground from 2016 until sometime, I think, 2018 or 2019, maybe even 2020. I'm not even sure exactly, but I have the videos of when I cut it up. So. My memory is telling me it's 2018, but I don't know if that's right. But anyway, it might have been here for 4 years, sitting here drying. So it's really dry now, and it's really ready to be worked with. So, and I got another couple of pieces of lumber, too. I got this other piece last night. I got this piece, yeah, which is good. It's a longer one. And this one... This one went with it. Yeah. these two pieces last night, possibly to build the wall from. These two pieces. Now, this one is uneven in its dimension, because one surface is the natural edge. But if I want to preserve its full strength, I can leave that and use it as some member that is tapered at both ends. And doing that is of advantage for some kind of structure that needs a piece of wood that flexes more at the ends than it does in the middle, whatever that is. So that's up to me, the designer, right? Or whoever is doing the design work. But this is the other piece I got. And that turned out to be pretty square. It is perfectly square, actually, with a chunk out of it, and with fairly uniform width and you know, thickness, fairly uniform. It's about, I think it's 1 5/8 by 2 5/8. Yeah, it's 1 5/8 by 2 5/8. So it's a typical, very standard sized 2x3, and I didn't try to make it that. It just, that's how, what it turned out to be, amazingly. So you can hear it's got a crack in it or something that's making it make a funny sound. Oh yeah, it has a crack at the end. That end has a crack, so I could cut that off or glue that crack, because that was the bandsaw cut that I made. It made it share that funny noise. That crack was what I tried to cut with the bandsaw, and I shouldn't have been doing it with the bandsaw, evidently, because that's why I lost about 8 inches there of length. Where the bandsaw was cutting underneath, below it, on the bottom, I couldn't see where the bandsaw was cutting. Bandsaw had wandered way offline on the bottom part of the cut. So the cut is horrible. I could maybe show you. So long, though. This piece is long. I think it's over 7 feet. This piece is, I think, taller than I am, and I'm 5'9", but it's quite a lot taller than I am. I don't know what the length was now, but by the time I cut it off, it's not going to be more than 7 feet, really, I don't think. Not much. There's the crack. Here's the crack, actually. Here's the crack. Yeah. There it is. It's quite bad. I've lost that much length because I was careless with the bandsaw. But everything can be turned into an advantage if you can figure out how. So that's the thing. I just don't understand why that's an advantage right now. But Jehovah knows why that's an advantage. But there's that is a crack too. That's the other. That's where the cut of the bandsaw came through. Unbelievably, at such an angle that it's here and then there. So it cut out. This wedge was cut right out with the bandsaw. Should have been cutting, you know, vertically, like right. Should have been cutting directly along the face, right this way. So the bandsaw, because I had to have the bandsaw set with the blade exposed to quite a high height, that blade could be then moved around and bent when you can't keep the bandsaw, whatever that's called, the regulator, the top, the throat setting on the, or the part that restricts the exposed part of the blade. When you cannot set that low enough, when you have to set it high, then the blade it can bend more. That's what happened here. So, but I mean, obviously I could have avoided that. I was trying to take take an easier path, I thought, by using the bandsaw to cut this, but it didn't work. So yeah, we gotta be honest about what happens in our mistakes and be honest about it and learn. But that was the way it was in ancient Israel. They were honest. Moses was honest about his mistakes in the Bible. We see all the honesty there. So it's good to be honest. So that's a beautiful piece of lumber there. I mean, even cut off, it's going to be... Well, the end of it is not full. But if I take it down to here, it's about... Oh, I don't know, 64, what is that? 60,
65 inches, maybe something like that. Yeah, but it's a bit tapered at the end. But if I use all of that length, it would be 72 inches or 70
inches or something like that, which is about 6 feet. So that's, it just depends what I need to use it for. How long it will be. Well, if I have to cut it off, I cut it off, but I don't really want to cut it off. When Frank Lloyd Wright designed houses, he used pieces of plywood, and he bought the plywood, and he tried to never cut it. So his houses were built using whole sheets of plywood, and he never cut them if he could avoid it. I think he usually could avoid it because he built his houses so that he didn't have to cut the wood. So every house is a uniform number of, or a round number of plywood sheets used in the walls, the roof, the floors. Everything was a round number of plywood, an even number, a nice round number of full sheets of plywood, so he wouldn't have to cut anything. The same with all of his materials. He tried to never cut anything. He reduced waste that way, so he didn't waste anything. So that's the same idea that it was just a good idea for building anything, to not create a whole bunch of scraps of wood that have no or little use. But that's it for this video, I think. It's 22:33 hours. It's December 9th, 2022. It's Ward Green. I love you. Bye for now.